He is risen. We got to do it again. He is risen.
He is risen.
Amen. Don't those sound like words of celebration? We talked in our time with our young disciples this morning that the Easter eggs that are painted and have sparkles on them, they remind us in some ways that this is indeed a day of celebration. Isn't it more than coincidence that this is this the first day you wear white shoes? Is that right? I didn't happen to wear white shoes this morning, but I did wear my Easter tie. How about that? How about some of you? Do you have on your Easter dresses this morning? I see some. Those bright colors, those festive things we wear, they're a symbolic statement that this is the day. The Super Bowl of our faith, the day of victory, the day of celebration. I remember a few years ago, old Luke was getting ready for Easter and I was getting ready and we were running a little bit late, trying to get out the door. And I said, Luke, you need to get your clothes on, son. It's time to go to church. He said, I'm ready, Daddy. I said, son, you're not ready. You still got your underwear on. He said, Dad, these aren't my underwear. These are my Easter shorts. He was celebrating, wasn't he? He had those vibrant colors. Because this is the day that the Lord has made, and we are called to rejoice and be glad in it as people of the Christian faith. He is risen, yes, He is risen indeed. So for us, many of us, I'll say, this is a day of celebration. But you know what else happens on this day just about every year? Not only is this a day of celebration for many people of faith? But in some ways, for some of us, let's be honest, it's not only a day of celebration, but for some it's a day of searching. A day of inquiry. A day of being open just enough to this faith called Christianity to see and to taste and to really examine, is it real? Is it good? I'm willing to at least consider that there's something about the risen one that's truly real. I was given the experience recently to hear Lee Strobel tell his journey to faith in Christ. Lee Strobel was one who described himself as a passionate atheist. He said, I started my descent of being an atheist in my teenage years. And he said, to accent that, I also found myself in a career that really gave questions to substance. We needed details and facts for things to be real for us to define and defend them. He said, I went to work in the newspaper industry. And my training was in law. In the legal circuit, I became the legal editor of the Chicago Tribune who prided ourselves in facts. He said, we prided ourselves so much that there was a sign in our newsroom that said, if your mama tells you she loves you, get a source, look into it, check the facts. He said, so my cynical nature was to not believe. I believe in facts. And he said, along the way, my wife became a Christian. He said, the first thought that came into my intellectual mind was to get a divorce, to give up. I can't live in this fantasy world, this fantasy life. So he set on an investigation to prove that Christianity wasn't real. He said it took him about 21 months. He thought, surely I can disprove this thing that she calls faith in a weekend, and it took him 21 months of research and investigation. And every stone that he looked upon her, he said, I found a new answer. He said, finally, at the pinnacle of his journey of faith, at the end of his research, he decided, as he looked back over those notes, over those legal pads of work he put into it, that he said, I found that at the end, it was going to take more faith for me to be an atheist than it was for me to be a Christian. There were more facts. In other words, for this faith that his life, his wife had embraced, he said, you know what the beginning point was for me, though? It wasn't in the facts. It wasn't in the statistics. It wasn't in the science of this movement called Christianity that changed me. It was in my wife. It was in her behavior. It was that when she said, I am now a Christian, her life changed. The way she treated me changed. The way she conducted herself with others changed. He said, I saw in her something that I couldn't put into words, but something that I wanted in my life as well. So began his journey, as for many of us. It's not in the facts. It's not in the sources. It's in the Spirit, the life-changing love of our Lord. You know, Mary comes to the tomb that our Scripture tells us this morning. And it says to us that this first appearance of Jesus, the resurrected one, the risen Savior, as we said this morning. Do you hear what happens in this exchange? You know, I think of myself, if I were to be the resurrected one, what would my response be? You know, I wouldn't go to a few disciples outside the tomb. I'd go to the ones who did all this mess, you know. I'd want to go, so see, I told you so. I may even say some things a little bit more harsh than that, right? I would want to go and prance up in the church and say, look at me. I am the risen one. I am the Savior. I am the Messiah. The one in whom you did not believe. But no, Jesus. Instead, do you hear where he goes? That the first statement, let's concentrate on that, church. The first statement he says, this has to be important, right? The first words he utters at his resurrection, what are they? Aren't you ready to hear them? Here's his statement. Guess what it was that Jesus proclaimed. It wasn't a statement at all. But rather, a question. Why are you weeping? Wow. Instead of being enamored with being heard, with making a statement, Jesus pours out his heart to one who is in need. Friends, that's the nature of the God that we serve and worship. One who has a heart for his people, for his family, to embrace us in our brokenness and give us restoration. Those are the words that he met Mary with at the resurrection on that first Easter morning. Why are you weeping? And there's a symbolic nature that as he tells Mary to go and tell his disciples, do you hear that? Did you catch that part of the word? That Jesus reaches out to this woman who in the first century world, women were not trusted as even those whose accounts were worthy of that of a man's. Their account couldn't hold up in court. They weren't seen as respected in the fashion that men were in that century. And yet, this is the one that Jesus reached out to and says, I'm going to make you the first evangelist of the resurrection. Go, Mary, and tell. You see the deliverance of our God? It breaks down the barriers of our world and embraces us with a love that changes our lives forever. tomb was empty. And part of the message of Easter, friends, is that Jesus comes to us in our brokenness like that of Mary. In our weeping like that of Mary. In our crying, in our torn apart hearts and lives, Jesus comes to us saying, or rather than saying, asking, why are you crying? Let me embrace it with you and bring restoration to your life. My friends, that's the story of Easter. It was there at the beginning of our faith. And it's there now to embrace us on this resurrection day. But you know, there are other words of Jesus there that capture my heart this morning. Yes, it was the question that he asked Mary, but it was also the statement that he made to Mary. He told her to go as the scripture pours out for us. But what did he tell her to go and do? What did he tell her to go and say? Do you hear these words? He says, go and tell my disciples. Or in this translation that we have this morning, he says, go and tell my brothers that I'm going to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Do you see what's happening here, friends? Now imagine once again if it were you and I, the one who'd been persecuted, the one who'd been denied, the one who'd been deserted. Remember Peter? Peter was his main, most right-hand man. And Peter was the very one, his number two in charge. Peter was the very one that denied even knowing him when the heat turned on in the kitchen. I would kind of want to have a conversation with Peter had I been the risen one, wouldn't you? Not so sure that I'd want to embrace him back into fellowship with me, into my life, let him back in the family circle, right? He'd blown it. Peter had. And you know, when I think about that journey, that run with Peter and John, I don't think it's that John was an Olympic-trained runner that he outran Peter. I suspect that Peter, if he had some nature like me, maybe there was some hesitancy in his run, you know? He wanted to get there, but he didn't really want to get there too quick. He didn't really want to hear what Jesus might have to say to him. He considered that. But these are the words that Jesus says. For Mary to say to Peter and his friend, he no longer says, go to my followers. Not only does he say, go to my friends, but Jesus, the resurrected one, says, go to my brothers. They're more than students. They're more than simple creation of some distant deity. Their family. They're children of the Father above. And their brothers and sisters of me, the Son. See what I hear happening here? It's not just that Jesus conquered death through the resurrection. And hallelujah, if that's all we had, we have life through Him. We've been set free from death. Death, the power of death has been conquered. But something else happens in our text. Not only does Jesus give life, but Jesus also gives here in this exchange with Mary to the disciples. He gives forgiveness. Restored relationships. To not just exist, or live, but truly have life as forgiven and loved people of the Father. Wow. Friends, those are words of life. See, that, my friends, more than anything else, is what our faith, the Christian faith, more than any other religion, that is what our faith is built upon. The forgiving, loving nature of our Lord. That's the story of Easter. That in the risen one, we're set free to live. But we're also set free in that we are loved and forgiven for all we have ever done and all that we'll ever do by the grace and glory of our Lord. You know, some of you have seen probably the previews for the movie Unbroken. It's a wonderful book if you've not had the chance to read it. It follows the life of Olympian Louis Zamperini, who also through that process after the Olympics served in World War II and became a prisoner of war. And in that process of being a prisoner, he was tortured, humiliated, abused, in many ways defeated by those Japanese guards who held him captive. Louis, in sharing that journey, talked about how that process took so much life out of him. He turned into a life of drunkenness, of anger, of frustration, of wanting to get back at those Japanese and I guess everybody in the world. His life was miserable. But he said, along the way, I went to church one day. And perhaps it was a day much like some of you today. Not so much celebrating as those of us here today who are searching. Zamperini said, I found the love of the Lord that day and I went back to my home. And when I fell upon my knees and confessed my faith in Jesus Christ, it was as if a miracle of grace engulfed my life. And somehow, I was able to forgive those who had punished and tortured me. He said, I never had another nightmare. He said, I quit my drunken stage through life and I found for the first time ever something besides existence but life in my Lord. See, friends, in our faith, Easter is about forgiveness. Will you receive it today? But Easter is also about forgiveness. Will you give it today? For in living the faith of our Lord, we too, as His children, find life and love forever. He is risen. He is risen. Indeed, may we go forth as His people, living in His light and sharing His love on this day and forever. Amen. Let's pray now, and I ask you that as we bow on this day, if you are a person who comes in the spirit more of seeking than celebrating, that I've been there. I've had the questions of my own in faith, and that I ask that, oh God, as you embrace the heart of these seeking, that you'll give them the presence of your Holy Spirit in their lives, that they may see that you are real, that they may practice the bounty of your love and forgiveness, and in finding, in giving our faith, find faith. God, I ask you to embrace each of us on our journey. And Lord, if there are those here this day who've come to the position where they are ready to claim life in you, that as we pray now, will you receive this prayer as their confession to you as Lord? That they embrace you in every way that they know how to believe and claim you as the Lord of their life. Will you come into their life, conquer their sin, and become their Lord in heaven forever as they embrace you as their child? And as we go forth as your people, may we look like you. May we love like you. As we serve your world to your glory. In the name of Jesus our Lord, we pray. Amen.